Hello, folks. Welcome to another FS Ride Along, a series of knickknack podcast episodes dedicated to recording my virtual travels and views in the world of simulation. Not just flight simulation, but train simulation, simulation strategy games, anything that strikes my fancy with ties to the real world when applicable. This will be season 7, episode 33, and I'm calling it This Girl Likes Diamonds and Things That She Can't Afford. I did manage to grab the new DA40NG from SimSolutions. Suffice it to say, I am more than a bit underwhelmed. There's the cabin heat and the defrost switches don't work. The ECU switch doesn't work as I expect it to, as it does in the DA62 from Aerobasque. So there are quite a lot of things about this airplane that are not done. And given that it's a released product, I'm thinking that they're not going to be done. And that's really unfortunate considering that it's about $25. And I don't know, that's on the lower end, I'll grant you. That's kind of Carinato sort of level. So I wasn't expecting too much other than the little bit of layering on top of the Laminar 1000 that they use, which of course makes the glass cockpits in the X-Plane platform actually usable, whereas the glass cockpits on the Microsoft platform, last time I tried it, are not usable. So at least there's that. But when I look at the POH for the DA40NG, I look at an airplane that, well, it's a little slower than I want it to be. At full power, you know, you're 129, 130 knots indicated, and, you know, depending on your altitude, 136 to 145 true, somewhere in that neighborhood. So, you know, it's not as fast as I want it to be, you know, about the speed of 182, something like that. The ECU works on the airplane fairly well, not great, but fairly well in the way that it's modeled. But if it worked much more accurately, it would be such a fun, easy, enjoyable, simple airplane to just get up and go. And it's amazing, really, how long general aviation technology is kind of lagged behind the real world. I mean, it's because it's so expensive. It's because there's so much involved in the real world stuff, of course. But it is interesting to me that an ECU in an airplane engine is a new thing, that it's just normal to expect in a general aviation airplane that you're going to have to separately be adjusting the manifold pressure with the throttle, the RPM with the propeller lever, and the fuel mixture ratio with the mixture lever in a piston anyway. I haven't really played with turbines in the GA world, so I don't really know how that works. Obviously, I know how airliners work, but airliners are so automated these days. Even now, flying the Quality Wing 787, because I wasn't in the mood for the 350 tonight to fly to Australia, and it's so get up and go for the most part. I mean, yeah, you have to learn how the FMS works or the respective navigation system in a glass cockpit airplane, but really, it should be a get up and go thing. We really should be in the world of flying cars, and it's amazing to me, or, you know, somewhere akin to that, somewhere close to that, somewhere proximal to that world. And it's amazing to me how much aviation is still not that world of just get up and go and fly and let the automation do most, if not all, of the work. Because what I really enjoy about simulation and this flight simulation, and this really gets down into the psychology of why I sim, is I enjoy the role playing. I enjoy imagining that I'm actually a pilot flying over the Appalachians, as I was doing earlier today. I flew the 737 from PMDG, the 900ER, which is a rare thing for me. I usually don't fly the 900ER, but I flew the 900ER down into Nashville, because I got the scenery for Nashville several months ago, and I don't fly into that often enough, so I flew in there. That went okay, not great. And then I got the DA40NG out too, even though the weather was kind of crap and I was worried about ice. It's a simulator, right? So I just kind of ventured over the Appalachians out to Asheville and then into an airport near Charlotte, And for once, Volanta didn't track my route, so I can't remember what the airport was off the top of my head, but it was an interesting little airfield. And one, I was left to fend for myself with default airport scenery with X-Plane, which is a little bit of a dough. It happens in all platforms, of course, but that was a little bit of dough. And did it in four legs, I think. I did Nashville to Knoxville, and the Knoxville landing didn't go great. Then I did Knoxville to Asheville, and the Asheville landing went quite well, and I was happy with myself, and I was expecting the last landing into the airport in the Charlotte area to go better because I had nailed the landing the last time, and nope. So my frustrations, I guess, after a year of X-Plane is the following. Add-on developers, well, they do a good job with the modeling and do a decent job with the interiors pretty readily for the most part. They lean a bit too heavily on that Laminar G1000. And because it's part of the default application that is X-Plane 11, it's not all that impressive to do a G1000 based plane in X-Plane with some overlays on top of it. What's more impressive is when you get all the systems right. And it's interesting that this would be sold through INI simulations, because INI, they don't have a, like a perfect reputation, but they have a pretty good reputation, so I was expecting something good. And, okay, new developer, they have some things to work on and teething issues and all that, and I don't want to be too cruel, but at the same time, I guess I'll phrase it this way. Dare yourself to be better than Carinato or Albeo or those developers. Dare yourself to actually really take some serious time to develop an airplane. I would love to see a very good version of the DA40NG because it's a simple, easy airplane to fly, easy to get started. It has some speed without being too overly complex. In the real world, I think Cirrus needs to seriously think about getting a FADAC slash ECU going for the airplane because, the mechanical link lever between the throttle and the prop is functional, but we can do better these days. And it would probably help if they switched to diesel and jet A because, 100 low lead is gonna go the way of the dodo eventually, so. All these things are spinning through my mind as I go along. I'm also very frustrated and trying to adapt because, as you know, if you listen to my other podcast episodes, the priorities and the way things are going in my life are changing. And with the changing and shifting of priorities comes a change in flight sim budget. And I'm very spoiled. I've saw recently in a survey that most simmers, or at least most simmers that the survey got a response from, spent over $3,000 on their sim setup. So, needless to say, this is a very privileged group of gamers, generally, that we're talking about when we talk about flight simulation. And that makes sense because people that are into aviation are generally very privileged. But it really wows me how easy it is to spend a ton of money on this hobby. And it really wows me how much you feel left out and you feel gated out when you don't spend as much money on this hobby. And it's pretty frustrating, especially because the every time a new simulator comes out, and I've been done this song and dance so many times now, it gets old. I've been doing flight sim since Microsoft Flight Simulator 98 and Sierra Pro 99, that era. So I've done this a long time, and it's very frustrating how many gatekeepers there are each time the sim platform changes, and how many people lift that otherwise enjoy the hobby get left behind or feel like they can no longer contribute because they don't have the budget and can't afford the hardware for the latest and greatest. And I just want to say to everyone out there, I know I made some tasteless quip about Flight Simulator 2004, but that's still a valid simulator. If you're doing flight simulation and you enjoy flight simulation and you want to get the most you possibly can out of this hobby. I want to be your friend. I want to be connected with you. I want to be a part of your community. What I don't want is this community of gatekeeping, this community of elitism. It's an attitude. It's literally an elitist attitude that I'm better than you, or this is the right way to do it, or this is the only way to do it. And in real world aviation, that's absolutely important because there is only generally one right way to do something because that's what the safety practices dictate. But in the simulator world, there are so many ways that you can go about something. And I'm trying to open my mind to different ways of thinking. And, as much as I don't like the idea of a whole generation of Microsoft Flight Simulator users gaming on the Xbox and casually flying, if that suits your needs, good for you. I'm glad at least people are talking about aviation, and I really hope that someday we do have something akin to automated flying cars. I would love to hear more from Austin Meyer about that. With that, I think I'm going to wrap it up. I know it's kind of a short episode. There are lots of things that I am trying not to buy. I do want the Carinata Bonanza and the mods that are available for it. I have the Carinata Bonanza and the Garmin WOS 530 or whatever it is from Reality XP, and I've used the Reality XP products before and I enjoyed that, and I want to get that in with the mod. But I just don't have the money right now. I also want Halifax and all sorts of other things that I just can't afford. And if I'm doing some wishing and dreaming, I'd love to find a DA40NG under my celebratory seasonal spot because I absolutely love that plane and it's a practical, economical, and fuel efficient airplane to fly. And I've looked around, it doesn't seem like many places are training it. I don't think it would be an affordable rent anyway, probably $250 an hour plus, much like a Cirrus. Cirrus is actually probably more like 300 to 500, but anyway, it's a cool airplane. And I want to fly it realistically so bad that I'm thinking about going back to the mods with Microsoft Flight Simulator. And of course, that creates a problem because the autopilot was crud the last time I tried it. And of course, we all have the problem of drive space and with all my ortho for X-Plane going on, that's freeware, which is lovely. The fact of the matter is, I have 5.5 terabytes on my main computer. Most of them are not available for further storage because they're already occupied. So these are the challenges that I'm up against. So please, 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 if you enjoy FS Ride Along, if you enjoy the content that I produce, please know that support for FS Ride Along comes from Simply Magpie Virtual Airline and Flying Club based in Newcastle, England, and by you, your generous contributions. You can find out how to contribute at fsridealong.com, and you'll find a link to a PayPal there. If you'd like to contribute via Patreon instead, links for that are available at knickknackpod.net. The music is Catch Me If You Can by Attica Attica. Find them at atticaattica.bandcamp.com. And a gentle friendly reminder that the Knick Knack Podcast and FS Ride Along series is copyright 2006 through 2021 by the Knick Knack Podcast Network and was released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial 4.0 International License. Till next time, fly safe. Catch me if you can. Bye.
My hat pulled down with a bottle in my bag.